What's going on, everybody? Happy holidays. Welcome to Sports Card Strategy Show, episode 62. I'm Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com, and my main man, Kendall McKee, is going to be joining us momentarily. He's setting up from his parents' house down in Texas. I'm in Tennessee, and I got a quick question to ask you guys while we're waiting for Kendall, and it is, why vault your cards with the original marketplace? Because the eBay vault isn't just a way to protect what you collect. It's a new way to trade. Not only have your cards never been safer thanks to our secure, climate-controlled facility, but you're also locking in real savings. You pay no sales tax when you ship to or transact within the vault, and there are no storage fees for 2 years. Now, just imagine everything you can do with all that money. And with the eBay Vault's seamless in-app experience, you can track, buy, and sell your cards in real time, from listing your cards in seconds with eBay Collection to tracking trends with eBay Price Guide. Managing your collection is more seamless than ever before. The eBay Vault, buy, sell, secure. And everybody, I am super excited to be here. It's the day after Christmas, episode 62 of the Sports Card Strategy Show. This is actually rounding out our season. So we started the show in September of 2021. So it's been about a year and 4 months of doing the show. We really appreciate all of your support and feedback. Drop us a comment, tweet at us at No Offseason Card or at Lefty McKee. Let us know what you want more of or less of in the show, in the Sports Card Strategy Show, and the nooffseason.com content network in 2023. We're excited to bring you episode one of 2023. Episode one of season two will be January 2nd. And we're also going to do a basketball card strategy show with Gary from Hoops and Cards. And don't forget, you can go premium for a year at nooffseason.com. Get all of our premium reports. The data that we're tracking on all of our cards is definitely different than Market Movers and Card Ladder. You get all of the write-ups free for a year, with all of the data free for a year. Email me at paul@nooffseason.com to find out how. And this is perfect timing because I see Lefty in our waiting room. Looks like he's ready. Happy holidays, Lefty. How you doing, man?
Hey, bro, how's the mic? My whole thing is I'm not in my usual spot, so I'm actually having to use my phone because my computer just never figured it out.
Hey, we can't tell the difference, man. It's great.
Happy Boxing Day for everybody who celebrates. Toffee's going big today. I can feel it.
Yeah, happy Boxing Day. I hear that there's like, what, 6 or 7 Premier League games on today?
Something like that. Yeah, everybody plays today.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's exactly what the Prem needs after like what, a month and a half off.
Hey man, like, I mean, every Boxing Day is kind of special for me. Like, I always get up and everybody's kind of over Christmas, but I'm just like, hey, 26th is special for me to watch Everton. But this one it feels a little bit different because of it's just been forever since I saw most of the Everton players play, because we're just not good enough to be on World Cup rosters.
What time's their game today for Central Time for you?
It's on right now, man.
Oh, nice. All right, cool. Well, give us some live updates during the Sports Card Strategy Show. I was just telling the audience, this is basically our last show of the season. We're going to start season two on Monday, January 2nd. So we're rounding out the season today. And before I jump into my basically, I'm going to do L's of the year and W's of the year because, you know, just not switching up the show format too much, but definitely playing to the end of the year theme, right? Because we got to talk about what we got right and what we got wrong in 2022.
Right.
But did you get any cards or give any cards for the holidays?
I got a whale of a card that I'll talk about do you want me to talk about it now or do you want to talk about it?
No, we can wait. We can wait. We do a Secret Santa with my wife's family, my in-laws, and I'm back in Tennessee, obviously, which I'm super excited about. So Christmas in person with the fam, my brother-in-law, Jake, who gave me this amazing microphone and mixer setup that's upped my podcasting game over the last year, had me, and he's a great gift giver. So he got me two boxes of 1988 Don Russ baseball, you know, boxes of sealed packs. So,
nice.
Yeah, super fun. So I'll probably open up some of them over the next few weeks just to see if I get, if I get my guy Alan Trammell from the Detroit Tigers back in the day.
Alan Trammell.
It's not
a hunt everybody's looking for.
No, it's not.
You're looking.
It's not exactly a chase. Not exactly a chase. But I mean, you've got some. You don't have many rookies in this. Roberto Alomar rated rookie. That's a cool one.
Yeah, that's cool.
They'd be looking for that one. There's the Diamond Kings insert, which was big back in this 1988 Donruss, which now you've got, obviously. So Leaf made Donruss back in 1988. And now, of course, Panini has the Donruss brand. Leaf is doing its own thing. And the Diamond Kings is now its own set for Panini. So this, the evolution of sports cards, we could probably talk about all day, but that's actually not why we're here.
It's not.
It's not why we're here, Kendall.
We don't want to talk Donruss.
Well, I think you know why we're here, and that's to help people make money off flipping sports cards, which is a different kind of show you can go find somewhere else on Apple or Spotify to talk about the design of 1988 Donruss. That is not us.
I don't ever want to be that guy.
I don't either. All right. I'll go first. The graphic says L of the week, but you're listening anyway. So it's really L of the year. I got to criticize myself a little bit before I pat myself on the back, because I'm certainly going to be doing a lot of that in this episode. But, you know, I like to make calls where I think guys sort of fit my formula. And there were a few guys that fit my formula in a few different sports in 2022. One of them was Vinicius Jr. Vinicius Jr. was a guy that I still have in my top 50 at nooffseason.com. I may or may not update that based on what Kendall has to say about Vinicius Jr. But, you know, he was a guy that I thought everything aligned for the Brazilian national team, for Real Madrid, him still being young. I think he's still under 22. And, maybe there was a little bit of prospect fatigue with Vinicius Jr. because he'd been around for a while, but he really started to play well with Benzema coming into his own at Real Madrid. And his cards were just super cheap, and he had cards. So there were a bunch of different things that I liked about him. Being on the world stage at the World Cup was going to be my crescendo. Of course, he scored the game-winning goal in the UEFA Champions League final, which was incredible. And saw a little bit of an uptick in his card prices back when that happened in the spring. But my call was that really you should hold him until the World Cup and then sell him. And he was going to be this big sort of cash in guy as Brazil was going to be in the World Cup final. Obviously that did not happen. So I was wrong about Vinicius Jr. So that was one of my, I will say L's of the year, because he was a guy that I did talk about a lot. I wrote about a lot, and not that you really lost a whole lot of money on Vinicius Jr., but if you followed my advice on him, you didn't really cash in the way that I thought you would. So that's definitely, I would say, probably one of my big L's of the year. One other soccer player, Ansu Fati, was a guy that when Kendall came on the show with me back last winter, I was kind of like, what about Ansu Fati? What about Yunus Musa? What about these guys in La Liga that people aren't talking about? Because everyone was talking about the U.S. men's national team. And, you know, Fati came back from injury and scored a couple goals, but he never really got his role back for Barcelona, and he really didn't play at all in the World Cup. I don't even know if he logged a single minute. You'll have to fact check me on that, but Fati was a guy that I was really, really high on, and it just never really materialized. In fact, I wrote an article for Sports Card Investor last week that you can go check out at sportscardinvestor.com, and it actually goes through the it's the first edition of the Market Movers report for UEFA Champions League players. And Fati was like one of the most sold players in that report, but his prices were all down. And my hypothesis there is that you just probably had so many people holding Fati for so long through those injuries, and maybe some people that bought him thinking he's going to come back. And then you probably just had people sell him during the World Cup because they were kind of like, screw it. You know, this is the time to sell him regardless of how he does. And his prices were down, but he was like the most sold, like one of the most liquid cards, but his prices were down. So that's another one I was wrong about. And then my third one, and then I'll pass over to Kendall, that I have to poke fun at myself on, is you've got the Brooklyn Nets now, like on a roll, like they're murdering people. Yeah. And they look great. I mean, Kyrie and KD and even Ben Simmons, all these guys are clicking. Nick Claxton, you've got Seth Curry playing. But where on earth is Cam Thomas?
On the bench, bro.
He is on the bench with a sore butt. Now, he did put up 33 points. I think Kendall's been texting me about Cam Thomas, and so is Gary from Hoops and Cards, which I appreciate. He did put up 33 points in a random game a couple weeks ago, but that's it. I mean, you look at his stat line most nights, and it's like 0 minutes, 3 minutes. You know, he's just not getting the minutes. Now, does he have the talent to maybe be who I thought he was going to be? Absolutely. He could still be. But I got to give myself an L here, guys. I mean, I thought he was going to be averaging 18 to 25 minutes this year already. I thought he was going to be averaging double figures. And for whatever reason, he's not in the rotation. And who knows if he ever will be. So it's kind of a bummer on my Cam Thomas call, but got to give myself a big L on those guys. And if I'm missing something, audience, please chime in. Let me know what I am missing, what else I got wrong in the year. And I will certainly own up to that and comment on it. I love to have the discussion. And this is a great segue to Kendall's L of the year, because Southern Soccer Idiots here, he likes to point out some flaws in Kendall's soccer card investing knowledge, but Everton is up early. What's the update there? And what's up? Happy New Year. Happy holidays, SSI. Good to see you. Thanks for joining the show. What's the Everton update, Kendall?
We're up 1-0. Yerry Mina coming back from injury with a big old dome on a header, bro. Love it.
Nice. What you got for L of the year or L of the week, however you want to position this?
My L of the week centers really around soccer as well and around the World Cup. I was going to say that my L of the week was just my World Cup predictions in general. I didn't really have any of them that kind of materialized the way that I thought they would. You know, there was a couple of guys that got hurt, the U.S. men's national team happening the way that it did. I wouldn't say I invested in the wrong guys, but just the way the narrative played out didn't really, for instance, like there's just been all this drama around Gio Reyna and the way that he interacted with the team at the World Cup, potentially was going to get sent home, all this stuff. Like he just was a teenager at the World Cup and in the worst way, you know, and like that's the guy that I probably invested in the heaviest because I thought he was going to come in as a super sub, be able to score a couple bags. And then we were going to ride off into the sunset with me having out of 25 autos for him and just ride into the sunset and sell 75% of my collection. And then I was just going to flip that into baseball in spring or in draft 22. That's not how it played out. Vinny Jr., as you said, did not play out like we thought it would. Ansu Fati actually got 22 minutes to – he played 44 minutes, 22 minutes in each of the last two World Cup games, did absolutely nothing. I wasn't invested heavily in him, but I thought, you know, you said fact check me, so I did do that. But the problem is he just didn't log significant minutes. The good thing that I will give you props on is Gavi and Pedri played really well. That is looking like their team to take over. Spanish national team looks like it's in good hands. But unfortunately, it lost a big game when it needed to come through. That's kind of been the Spanish MO for the last, 8 to 10 years. You know, they just have been able to like get there, but not get to the next level. And, you know, maybe this crop of young studs was going to push it to the next level. But my World Cup, I really invested in Florian Wirtz. I thought Tristan, or not Tristan McKinney. I thought that Weston McKinney was going to have a better World Cup. He ended up looking like he just was 100%. You know, so those are the guys that that I really thought were going to pop off. We had no idea where Gakpo was going to come from. We had, you know, I didn't have the funds to invest in Mbappe and Messi. You know, those were probably the biggest wins of the World Cup for people. Yeah, so it was just like overall, I didn't make any like real significant money. I had a Ronaldo card that I was able to get out of, which was fun. But, you know, still another L for me for the year is, man, guys, I don't know if any of you guys took my advice or Andy's advice. We were kind of saying the same thing in the summer. But my God, Russell Wilson is so bad, Paul. Like, that is an L for all of us because we were saying, like, dude, this is a great time to buy his, you know, his rookie ticket autos. They're not actually, you know, at the top where they could be. And the guys that we were looking for in that little period, I said, hey, I think we should buy Russell Wilson 1 and Derek Carr 2. And both of them have kind of just like, well, Russell has just been horrific. And there have been times where you could have gotten out of Derek Carr this season. They went on a nice 4-game run where you could have turned him. But that's been a bad call for me this year. And then, you know, just the way that some of the prospects played out earlier this year in baseball, I had a lot of really good wins this year. But like, for instance, like we talked about Dylan Dingler earlier this year. That guy is nowhere to be found. But I got a lot more right in baseball than I got wrong this year. But, you know, we talked about some guys like Riley Green just never really stepped up. Both of those guys, unfortunately, are Tigers. But there was just some guys that we kind of like put on our margin and they just never materialized, which is okay. But still, like, there's just a couple of guys that didn't end up doing what we thought. But my L of the year has to be Russell Wilson. Has to be. So
yeah, those are some tough ones. And yeah, those baseball prospects, as a Tigers fan, very disappointing. I mean, Riley Green, even Spencer Torkelson, our guy, really didn't do anything when he got up to the bigs. But yeah, it looks like Southern Soccer Idiot says he whiffed on the World Cup also. Said Germany would be strong and France would struggle. Yep. It's
Germany had a wild World Cup.
It's hard to get those right. It's pretty hard to get those right. And like to your point about Mbappe, I mean, that would have been a huge risk. Like to me, that's like taking when you're betting on a favorite on a sports book, you know, it's like you have to put in so much money just to make a little on a favorite. And that's kind of what it was like trying to invest in big Mbappe cards. Now, if you did that, great job. And if you sold right away, even better job. Because you could double your money, even triple your money on a big Mbappe card, but definitely risky because I mean, if you would have put that into, you know, Vinicius Jr. or, you know, somebody who didn't, you know, somebody on maybe even England's team, one of their superstars and their cards, you probably would have had the opposite situation. So little talk about Jamal Musiala here, Kendall. So Ian Wingate, love to see the participation from Southern Soccer Idiot and Ian Wingate. Great to see you guys. Thanks for coming on the show and commenting. Says, even though Germany lost, think Musiala is going to be money, and Soccer Idiot agrees. What do you think real quick before we go to W's of the year about a guy like Jamal Musiala?
That was actually going to be on my wins of the year. Is Musiala was a guy that we did talk about and he did show class. And I was going to mention the Pedri and Gavi looking great too. But Musiala was probably the guy that we did mention in our show that ended up probably having the best show on the national stage. And I mean, just the World Cup placing where it was, Germany really was looking without hope for a lot of their games. They just didn't look good. They just looked like a team that doesn't really know their identity yet or anymore. And it looks like they might have to tear down the whole system again and reboot it. And Musiala is a guy that's on that team and ready to play big minutes. I mean, when they're going to move on from guys like Gundogan and Hummels and Götze and all those guys, they're going to move on from that chapter. And the guys that are going to come in this next cycle are going to be guys like Musiala. I do think Wirtz gets in that next one. But even Sané at 26 years old, he's going to be 30 at the next World Cup. So Musiala is going to be 24 or maybe like 23 to 24. He's 19 right now. So that guy is class at the World Cup, and I'm really that one was a win for us. Although I didn't invest very heavily in that, he was a guy that I was excited about this year. But I guess do you want to go first and then you jump back to me?
Yeah, sure. I've got mine queued up so I can go through mine. And mine were very focused around actually looking at the profit of when we told you to buy and when we told you to sell. So, my first one is Shedeur Sanders for us. We talked about him in an episode of the Sports Card Strategy Show, and I think we brought in Andy to talk about that. And all three of us basically said, you know what, these Onyx out of 400 blue autos for $20. This guy's got some markers. And now he's so you could have had that for $20. Like they were selling over and over again for $20. And there's a Shedeur Sanders profile at nooffseason.com. You can go check it out. You can see all this data. But he did light it up at Jackson State this past year. They lost in a bowl game, but he threw for over 3,700 yards, 40 TDs, and only six picks. But what really set his pricing off was when Coach Prime, his father, went to Colorado. Shedeur and Coach Prime basically said in each of their own way that Shedeur's following him to Colorado. That's official. He's going in the transfer portal to Colorado. And when that was announced just last week, or within the last 10 days, those blue autos out of 400 are now selling for $80 a piece. And so that's why Kendall and Andy and I basically told the audience on that show, and I wrote about it at nooffseason.com in Shedeur's profile, go ahead and buy these blue autos out of 400. They're $20. Not only does this young man have the potential to be a first round draft pick in 2024, but he's gonna have other markers. And because he is Deion Sanders' son, there's going to be more attention on him every time he does anything. And so now you've got, a 4X on this card. If you would have listened to us, you could be making a lot of money. I mean, think about like this is a card that you could have scaled. You could have bought 10 of these. Now, if you're flipping 10 of these, you got a $60 profit margin roughly on each one. That could be $600 basically. So even on like a $20 purchase with an auto of a guy like Shedeur Sanders, that was our call. So, and then I think there's even more profit margin if you would have gone the green autos out of 50. There's a lot more profit margin on those. So definitely like that was a non-obvious play that we found. We recommended that you guys take part in that. And I think that I still maintain that that is just one example of many more college athletes, or let's just call them pre-pro career situations, where a guy, you'll see more of these. You'll see more of these with the Bowman U product. You'll see more of these with Topps Chrome Overtime Elite guys that are going into the NBA draft. And I think in all sports. Another one was Zion. We started talking about Zion being a buy towards the end of last NBA season. He'd kind of faded out of the news cycle completely in like April. But then when the Pelicans started to win in the play-in rounds and actually make a run at the NBA playoffs, it was kind of like, wait a minute, if Zion comes back, even for this team, it's not even going to take a trade to the Knicks for his value to go back up, as long as he's on the court. I mean, you and I started talking about Zion being a buy back when nobody wanted a piece of him. I mean, I remember an episode where we talked about, if you're holding Zion, this could be good for you. Just hold him until November and then sell him. Well, wait. And then we're like, wait a minute, but you could buy him. So now we're at a point where if you would have bought Zion back in, like, say just his base Prism PSA 10, back towards the end of last season, that's an example of a card that's definitely up And it's continued to go up. So I think I even said sell Zion like after his first big game back. And that might have been like a little micro L within the macro W. So, but I because Zion's still playing well and his card market's still going up. But overall, that's a win for us. Okay. A personal one for me is Patrick Mahomes. So I was talking about Patrick Mahomes in the fall of 2021 when the entire sports card community, I wrote at nooffseason.com this last week, took a dump on Patrick Mahomes. His prices had dropped huge due to his on-field performance being pretty subpar back in the beginning of 2021. And I think maybe his prices were way too high prior to that, but they dipped far below where they ever should have dipped for a guy like Mahomes. And if you listen to us at nooffseason.com, because I had him ranked high, I had him as like my QB1. I had him always in the top five sports at this overall sports card investment report. So you could have bought his 2017 Optic Holo PSA 10 for $1,600 in July, and you could have flipped it for $2,300 in November. So Patrick Mahomes was definitely one that I called out. I'm going to skip this guy here that's on my screen because I think Kendall's going to talk about him. And if he doesn't, I'll come back around and talk about him. So I'll talk. The next guy I'm going to talk about is Lamar Jackson. So if you're listening in, you know, late December 2022 or early January 2023, I have to put this in context for you because Lamar Jackson's been out with a knee injury. He hasn't really performed well over the second half of the NFL season. But where we were right about Lamar Jackson is for basically the entire 2021 NFL season and well into the 2022 offseason, the clear plan that we spoke about over and over again and that I wrote about within Lamar Jackson's profile at nooffseason.com is to buy specifically his 2018 Kaboom PSA 10 or just a copy of that card. It could be PSA 8, PSA 9. You're not going to always be able to get a PSA 10. But if you would have bought his Kaboom PSA 10 2018 in June for $4K, then we told you to sell it in September. It sold for $8,500 in August and held value to the end of September of $6,550 and still even $5,900 in mid-October. So I was telling you to sell Lamar Jackson in August and September. If you would have sold him in August, you would have doubled your money on that card. You would have more than doubled your money on that card. So you would have had basically a $4,500 profit if you would have sold in August, like I told you. And then even if you wanted to just hold to see how well he did into October, still $5,900. Now what's interesting about this that Kendall and I talk about quite a bit is since his injury, that same card is now selling for $1,900. Not a bad idea to potentially buy that card again. And this is what we talk about. You can flip the exact same card over and over again and just doing it at the right time and make a lot of money. So I think those are my best personal and some of them you agreed with me on for sure that we were both in on together wins of 2022.
Yeah, I think I'll man up and say that I did not believe in Lamar Jackson because I thought this kind of a situation was going to happen earlier on in the season. So if you had the chance to get out of Lamar when we talked about that earlier in the season, dude, yeah, you called that one big. I was just like not a believer in his longevity. I knew that there was like this contract situation looming. I just felt like it was going to be really bad for him and his hobby prices. And so, but I think now, interestingly, is a great time to get in on Lamar because it looks like they are going to squeak into the playoffs. A healthy Lamar Jackson having a couple of like maybe a month or so to heal up, come in and just blast the off season. I don't want to play Lamar Jackson in the off season. You know, like it could take one play for him to just squeak out a, you know, an 80 yard bomb. And he's got speedsters on his team, you know, like it, that team is terrible without him, but with him, they're competitive. And so could be a cool time to get in. I think another win for us this year is Trevor Lawrence. We talked about him in the offseason, and I was like, hey, you know, we're moving on from Urban Meyer, the whole situation, giving him a situation. He's got totally like his, he has Topps products dedicated to him. You know, we've talked about that. And so we know his market share is huge if he was able to pop. And he's had a great year this year. I think we're going to see a whale of a move in 2023 for Trevor Lawrence, which is why, the buy that I got for myself for Christmas is I took my wins from predicting Julio Rodriguez and Jeremy Pena, which is guys that more W's from this year that I did. I turned them into a rookie ticket auto of Trevor Lawrence for my Christmas present. And I'm going to ride that one at least until he, if he does super well in the playoffs, I might get out of it again and buy it back in the off season. But Trevor Lawrence, I bought a rookie ticket auto of his for myself for Christmas. And I'm pretty excited about that. Is there something you wanted to say right there? Yeah. So that's my card. It looks beautiful. I'm super excited about it. And once I get it like in my hands, it's going to the authenticator right now on eBay, which will actually be the first time that I will be receiving a card from the authenticator. Instead of like, we've talked about this year where I've mailed cards to the authenticator, but I've actually never bought one that actually required the authenticator from eBay. So that'll be a kind of a cool experience that we'll get to document as well. Other wins that we had this off season were Pulisic, or we talked about Pulisic and being a buy, and then he ended up standing up. And dude, if you would have sold him when his nuts got crushed in that last game, oh my gosh, his market went bananas. And so Captain America, it looks like that guy for us. I thought Gio Reyna was going to step into that and Brandon Aaronson were going to step into that. But Pulisic was like, this is my team. I'm getting it. McKinney, step away. Adams, yeah, like you are here and you're the captain, but you're not the goal scorer. I'm Captain America. I'm putting my literal nuts on the line and we're going to score. That was a big win if you were able to follow us on that. Other wins I had this season were Jeremy Pena. Bought him in the offseason, sold him in spring training. I bought O'Neal Cruz in the offseason, sold him in spring training. Those were massive wins for me. The biggest win I had this year, though, the biggest one, we've talked about it a million times, is Indy Rodriguez. This guy went bananas this year. He went from like single A, I think, all the way up to like a double or triple A. He's going to end up breaking camp this offseason. I went out and I believed in him so much. I bought the most expensive card I could find of Indy Rodriguez last offseason. And I just said, okay, I believe in this. I believe in the numbers. I believe in what I'm seeing from this. We talked a ton about him at justbaseball.com. Aram was able to like really say, like, he brought this to my attention. It's not me finding this guy, by the way. Just want to give credit to where credit is due. Aram was the guy that was like, hey, we need to take a look at this guy. I liked what I saw. I invested really heavily, bought the most expensive card I could find. And that card is going to be huge for me. Ended up being PSA 10-ing. I'm going to sell it probably in the spring unless he goes crazy in spring training. And then I don't know what I'm going to do. But another win for me this year was Paxton Aaronson. When he got his move from the MLS to Frankfurt, Germany, he sold for $4 million from Philadelphia Union. And he was a bench player on this Philadelphia Union team going into the playoffs. But when he got sold to Germany in Frankfurt in the Bundesliga, that team is already good. I don't know if you're watching the Bundesliga, but Frankfurt is a team that's fun to watch. I've watched a lot of their Europa leagues this year. And for Paxton to get moved to that team, I'm excited about it. I think he's going to get a lot of run there. Obviously, European soccer is seeing how the Aaronson brothers are playing. There's some interesting brothers coming up. I think Paxton Aaronson is an interesting brother. Jude Bellingham's little brother is coming up. Mbappe's little brother is coming up. Like, there are some other brothers in the 15 to 18 range that could get some residual impact for me for 2023 that I'm keeping an eye on. So that is a little, you know, little think that I'm dropping for later. There are some brothers that are coming up that have already had massive years this year. for like their older brothers have had massive years, which I think will be huge. And then some smaller plays that we made earlier this year. The Sanders card, I bought mine for $12, $12.50, June 7th. We left that episode and I said, all right, I'm going to go buy the blue auto of Sanders. And I could have gotten one for $25, or I entered an auction and ended up winning it for $12.50. And so, it was so cheap for me. I'm going to hold it and see what he does at Colorado when he's actually in the game, because yeah, there's been this whole transfer portal like spike and stuff, but I'm excited to see what he's going to look like at Colorado. And he could end up competing for the Heisman. He could end up competing for that first round like pick next year. You know, like you just, I don't know where this card is going to go. Of course, he's going to have other cards and other products, but it was so cheap for me. I'm going to hold on and see if I can maybe get 10X out of it. So,
yeah, I mean, now that he's in the Pac-12 and you paid $12 for it, that's a great call. Why not just let it ride, do the parlay instead of cashing out now? Exactly. I wouldn't even fault people for buying in at $80 at this point. I mean, it's high and it's riskier than 20 or 12, but I think that he's got more upside. And I think your Trevor Lawrence card could gem based on the photo. It's, you never know based on the photo, but it looks,
oh, you best believe I'm going to have a microscope on that thing. And if it looks even close, I'm sending that off.
Yeah, that thing looks sweet. I'm jealous of that. I think, you know, I've liked Trevor Lawrence ever since the Jags took him number one overall. I could kind of see, you know, he's not going to be the immediate success that Burrow and Herbert were going to be. But for those of us that are willing to be patient with Trevor Lawrence, it could definitely pay off. And so I like that he's starting to play well. It's kind of exactly what I thought he would do. And I agree with you. I think he's going to be tremendous next season and the Jags are much improved. So, I mean, they already could make the playoffs this year. I mean, we could see Trevor Lawrence actually this year potentially go on a run like Burrow did in his second season. It's not too late for that to happen.
And that Jags offense is loaded.
Yeah,
that Jags offense is actually loaded.
Yeah, I mean, even Evan Ingram has resurrected his career. I mean, a lot of those wideouts, Christian Kirk, Zay Jones. I mean, Marvin Jones being the third wideout, not really getting many targets. He's talented. Travis Etienne's a beast. Lawrence just looks smooth and like he's in a groove. And so I definitely think that that he's going to be a stud. So he's going to be someone that I recommend is a good buy. I want to reiterate, like, I actually think Trevor Lawrence could fall into the Lamar Jackson category where you could see that rookie ticket auto go up and down quite a bit to where you can flip it. And if you time it the right way, you can make a lot of money off it, just because I think, like Lamar Jackson, Trevor Lawrence can be sort of like a polarizing figure in the NFL and in the hobby, where like I could see Trevor Lawrence not doing anything spectacular for like the first half of an entire NFL season and then being like the hottest quarterback for the second half of an NFL season. Lamar is obviously different style of play and lends itself more to injury, which is why I think Lamar Jackson is that type of athlete, because it's literally just following the injury pattern of him to where that's when you buy and sell. But that's a great overview of your wins of the year. Some of your wins there with the brothers and the young soccer players make me think, did I fail to include Caden Clark in my L of the year? I think I did. I think I need to go back and add Caden Clark to the earlier segment, everybody.
That one's on me. That one's on me.
Well, Kendall and I, it's not necessarily all on you. I mean, I got very excited about Caden Clark following my formula of a, you know, potential U.S. men's national team member, 18 years old, Topps Chrome auto, under $100, like that whole formula thing of like under $100 type auto situation got me excited about him. And then I bought like six or seven of them and he just, you know, now they're not even close to that.
He just never got any play time.
And then I had not only did Caden Clark not pan out, but what I did with the cards was stupid. Like I had them graded without ever seeing them. And then they came back PSA 8s. And so, I don't know, now Caden Clark's going to have to be the next, Robert Lewandowski or something to have some kind of value in the future. But anyway, let's go to buys. So I've got some top buys of, I guess, the week slash December 2022, January 2023. The pattern here in looking at the data is mainly basketball stars, but Jason Tatum is probably the lead NBA MVP candidate, who I think you probably could have been in your wins of the year. But he and the Celtics are on fire. In spite of that, his prices are down 3% across his entire market over the last 14 days. So a good time to buy a guy like Tatum, who should be in the mix through the end of the season. Tyrese Maxey's down 19% across 464 cards the last 2 months, probably having to do with his injury, but he's supposed to come back. He was maybe going to come back on Christmas Day. That didn't happen. But Tyrese Maxey is a great buy right now. Should be back soon. Great player, two-way player, scorer. The Sixers, I could see just with watching them play on Christmas Day with guys like Montrezl Harrell coming off the bench. They make me feel like they and De'Anthony Melton coming off the bench when Maxey comes back. They make me feel like a finals contender because of the depth there at those positions. But we'll see. Cade Cunningham, I think, is a buy. He's down almost 40% due to his injury. But I mean, if you look at his base Prism PSA 10 is like around $60 to $70. And if you think about that price point for the number one overall pick, Prism PSA 10, that should go up. Like, that should definitely go up. I think December is the best time to buy basketball cards. I saw this pattern last year, and then I wrote this article about it at nooffseason.com this year. But basically, like, in December, everyone's down, and then they all come back up closer to the All-Star break. And then they basically, depending on performance, continue to go up. And depending on, obviously, playoff positioning, continue to go up all the way through the end of the season. So any of these guys that I've mentioned from a basketball standpoint, and then I went out and bought. So I'd say my best advice for everyone out in the audience is to buy Anthony Edwards. So I've bought four Anthony Edwards base Prism PSA 10s over the weekend, all for under $75. I bought one Donruss Optic Blue Velocity PSA 10 for $125. And then I bought a Cade Cunningham for $50 base PSA 10 Prism and two Jalen Green base PSA 10 Prism for 40, basically around $60, between $50 and $60. And then Ellie De La Cruz. Ellie De La Cruz is a buy. We've talked about him before. We kind of say he's a buy every episode, but the reason why this one's different is many of you probably get the Slab Stocks Daily Slab. What I like about that email is they give you the top auction targets. And so I haven't done this in a while, but I clicked on Ellie De La Cruz 2022 Bowman Chrome Prospect Sapphire Edition PSA 10 auction. And it took me to the PWCC website. And I've never bought a card off of the PWCC auction. But the Ellie De La Cruz that I'm sharing on my screen right now is the 2022 Sapphire Edition Bowman Chrome First Prospect PSA 10. And I thought, this feels like a breakaway layup to me. Like, this feels like $100 for this card in December. Like, this should go up and I should be able to sell this at some point within the next 4 to 6 months for hopefully double this. And so I went ahead and pulled trigger and not only bought all of the cards that I just rattled off, but I actually just bought this Ellie De La Cruz card and decided to have it kept in my vault. And so immediately when I paid for it, it's now in my PWCC vault. Like, it's already there, which is really cool. We talk about vault services a lot on the show. I've talked about liquidating my PWCC vault. But what's cool about it is, even if I decide to sell all of my cards from my PWCC vault and have zero cards in the vault. I'm still going to keep it alive, and I'm still going to try the eBay vault for this same reason, because why would you not just keep it in the vault after you buy it on that marketplace? To me, that's brilliant, because then you're saving on the shipping, you're saving on the sales tax. And then really, they, as long as you keep the card in the vault for longer than 30 days, you really don't have to pay like any enormous fee to get it out of the vault. You're basically just paying to ship it wherever you want to ship it to at some point. So you could dig into the data more on all the Anthony Edwards plays and all the plays that I talked about at marketmoversapp.com. If you want to get your first month for only $1, use the promo code NOOFFSEASON. But on my screen right now, I mean, you can see this base Prism PSA 10. The pop is under 2,000. This card's down. I bought four of these. This card's down 68% over the last 365 days. This thing is going to go up. It just is. I mean, it's not going to stay at $70, which is why I bought four of them for around that price. This is probably the best buys of the week segment for myself personally that I've had in maybe 10 shows. So I'm really excited about this. But Kendall, what do you think? Are you going to bring me down to earth here? Or are you going to agree with me on these buys?
No, I'm going to continue to hype that up. Ellie is going to be incredible. The fact that you were able to get that PSA 10 for $100, I think that's huge. I mean, I was able to buy a Chrome First PSA 10 of Jackson Churio for $60. So the fact that you can buy a guy who's major league ready and is going to do things that's going to be incredible for $40 more than that, and it's a Sapphire, man, I think that is – I mean, I'm upset that I didn't get in on that as well, you know? And so I think that's an awesome buy. I think everything that you've said, Anthony Edwards, like I was literally watching a Timberwolves game the other day, and the announcer said there's literally Gobert on his team and Carl Anthony Towns on his team. And they said on the broadcast, there's no way this is not Anthony Edwards' team. And I was like, wow, okay. You know, like I know he's good. But to say in his, what is it, second or third season, for him to say this is his team, like out of Georgia, he was incredible. But he had a really bad struggle early on of finding his shot. And now it's like this is his team. You know, like everybody is labeling this as his team. Now he's in a poopy market there in Timberwolves land. But if he, you know, like is if he's able to like step that up into the next couple of seasons, we could see an absolute animal on our hands. Another guy that I think is worth buying right now. Actually, I'm going to temper this expectation by saying he's a guy that I'm keeping my eye on. Let's just put it that way. Because he's on such a bad team, I am watching what Tyrese Halliburton is doing. And I'm just watching him being like, dude, Hallie has been so freaking good for the Pacers. And they are so bad, Paul. Like, the Pacers are bad. And it's a franchise that's a small market. Like, of course, they have dedicated fans. But, like, basketball in Indiana is just something special. And then so you have those people that are so dedicated to their team. But, gosh, they're bad. Miles Turner's probably going to move off that team, so it's probably going to get worse for him. But that means his he's going to have an extreme uptick in usage. You know, so his usage percentage is probably going to go higher. So Halliburton, I think, is an interesting guy to keep my eye on. I'm not willing to say buy him just because he's on the Pacers, but he's a guy I'm keeping my eye on. But Tyrese Maxey, I think that 76ers team. Let me back up by say, Paul, this is like one of the first times in recent memory that I am more excited about watching the Eastern Conference in the playoffs than I am the Western Conference. The Pelicans, I think, are a very interesting team in the West that I'm going to keep an eye on. And I think you can make money on two or three of those players in this playoff run that they're going to make. But I think in the East, you've got the Bucks. That Bucks Boston game last night was something else, bro. Tatum like absolutely yamming on Giannis was like something that was a Christmas present for myself. You know, I could have put Jason Tatum in the run because I picked him in the gauntlet last year in the playoffs, and I was like, I think he's gonna have the best run out of all of these guys, and he ended up doing that. But then he just like was so bad in the finals, and I was like, where is Jason Tatum? And I just was a complete non-believer after that. And I've been watching him this year trying to create the narrative still in my head of like, oh, I don't believe in him. I think he's going to fold in crunch time, blah, blah, blah. And dude, he's just destroying people. The Jalen, him and Jalen working together, the Jay brothers in Boston, they are ridiculous. Robert Williams is healthy again. That Celtics team is going to be an animal in the playoffs. But I think the 76ers, even Brooklyn. I mean, dude, if Brooklyn turns it on at the end, you've got Brooklyn, 76ers, Boston, and the Bucks in there. You can't turn down a Giannis Antetokounmpo playoff run with Chris Middleton. Like, those teams are going to be really, really scary. And that Eastern Conference is going to be really fun to watch in playoffs.
And the Cavs. Don't forget the Cavs, too.
Golly, man. The Cavs, like, and geez, that's just a stacked conference right now. And the fact of the matter is, like, LeBron is on the other side. You know, like, you always think, oh yeah, like, for my most recent history, I think, like, as long as I can believe, from like a teenager on, it's been like the West, or when LeBron was in the East, the Cavs like did a ton of stuff, and the Miami Heat, you know. But like, other than that, it's been the Western Conference. Golden State doesn't look great. You know, they've got injuries all over the floor. Jordan Poole is putting up 35, 36, you know, when him or Clay is injured, which is another thing I don't really want to get into. But I think buys right now, things that I have been buying is I've been buying into McLaren drivers. I think that is more for me as like kind of like I like McLaren, but I think Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris can actually do something that people are not really expecting. I think they're going to fight for that third or fourth position this year. Ferrari having a new, I think it's technical director or something. I'm not familiar with the title, but I know that their big guy with glasses got let go. That's showing a little bit of F1 novice for me, but I think McLaren could do something this year. I also would keep an eye on Audi going into Formula One. I believe this next season is their first year. That's kind of an interesting look. F1 is going to continue to get more and more popular. There's another America race this year. I just think Vegas. So that's, I believe, on the schedule for next year. That's Austin, Miami, and Vegas. So I could see F1 having a big bump again this next off season or this next year. I think that's a buy for 23. And there are some baseball prospects that I'm really excited about. I haven't really been able to give my go now on a lot of these guys because I wanted to kind of really get through the 22 draft. But dude, if you are not buying Jordan Lawler and Ellie De La Cruz right now, even Marcelo Meyer is going to be great. But Tristan Casas is a guy that that we at Just Baseball are talking about all the time. This guy's going to be really, really good. Of course, he's a first baseman, which typically like doesn't give you the top end, but he's just going to be really good. They're comparing him to Freddie Freeman. So if you can get in on Tristan Casas, go ahead. I'm trying to like get all my thoughts organized because I had a bunch of guys that I was really excited about. Tyrese Maxey definitely is a guy that I'm looking to actively buy right now. And like I've said, Trevor Lawrence, I really believe that he could have a Burrow type run if things play out the way that they can in the playoffs. I think Trevor Lawrence could be looking down the pipe being the narrative. You can see it playing out right now. Oh yeah, this guy was number one pick, definitely best ever since Peyton Manning. You know, he threw a ton of interceptions early on, blah, blah, blah. Just like Peyton, his second, third year is going to be incredible. You know, like, he's got the coach, you know, he's got rid of all the drama, blah, blah, blah. Jacksonville's ready to step into owning its own thing, and he's going to take him into the promised land and buy every single Trevor Lawrence card you have out there because there's a gazillion of them. Like, you could see that happening. Now they're going to have to beat some incredible teams, but their defense is good. Their offense is good. And I think that Jacksonville team is something to watch.
Yeah. And the division sucks. I mean, the Titans are leaving the door wide open for them. And, I mean, Jacksonville can do it. So, but a lot of guys you mentioned, I also had in my buys. So Jordan Lawler's in my buys. and Oscar Piastri. Oscar Piastri, just for no reason other than the fact that F1 is out of the news cycle right now. His market's down 15% over the last 60 days. And I think that when he makes his F1 debut, there will be a spike. I also think it would be, if you're right and McLaren actually does compete, that would be enormous for Lando and Oscar in their card market. So I would say, and actually just let's
get worth taking a risk on
100%. And so a quick shout out to Greeny Green. He says he was saying the Cavs and the Hawks when you were naming Eastern Conference teams, and he's saying the Knicks look good. Great call, Greeny Green. I was thinking the same thing. Merry Christmas to you as well. So Justice Tyrone, new name on the show. Great to see you. Welcome to the show. Definitely come back and ask questions and participate. We'll always be here to help you out. He says, I love sports cards since a kid and want to get into flipping. What's the best way when I don't have a lot of money? I think one, there's a couple different things I'll throw out there. One is to listen to what we just said in the buys segment, because buying guys that are big name or not necessarily, like Tyrese Maxey's not a household name. Oscar Piastri's not a household name. Neither is Ellie De La Cruz, Jordan Lawler, a lot of these guys. But I mean, Jason Tatum being down, you know what I mean? Anthony Edwards being down. Those that's a great way to do it. Like, one way is to just go buy the base Prism PSA 10 of Anthony Edwards for $70. That is like a no-brainer that card will go up. The other way would be to buy the card raw. Buy a card, buy like a Tyrese Maxey silver Prism raw. I mean, that's going to be far more expensive, but that's going to be still have as much high upside, and then get it graded. You know, that's a little bit trickier because you're probably going to want to do something like that at a card show, or at a local card shop, and not necessarily do it online, because then you can see the condition of the card. And if you're newer to the hobby, it's going to be a little bit higher risk for you to do that, because you're going to lose more than you're going to win. But I would say, like, Justice, if you don't have a lot of money and you want to go out and buy like LaMelo Ball base Prism raw, Anthony Edwards base Prism raw, Tyrese Maxey base Prism raw, depending on what your sport is, like if your sport's basketball, those guys. If your sport's hockey, I would buy some Quentin Byfield, what's it called, Young Guns, right? I would pick three or four. I would, if your sport's baseball, I would go Ellie De La Cruz, Jordan Lawler, raw Bowman first Chrome, right? I would go, if your sport's football, I'd go Joe Burrow, just optic rookie, rated rookie, raw Prism rookie, raw. Just buy a few of them, send them all into PSA, play the grading game, and then see what happens. So I think that's a great, potential way to learn how to make money flipping sports cards. You're probably going to break even if you buy the right athletes and have them graded. If you buy the right athletes at the right time already in PSA 10, like we basically told you to do in this segment, I think you'll have more opportunity to make money, but it'll take more money to make the money. But that's where my mind's at right now at this second. I may think of some other things, but Kendall, do you have anything to add for Justice here in terms of just ways to get in and make money without having a lot of money? I mean, there's a million ways to do it in sports cards.
Yeah, I would say the one thing I would caution, or a couple of things I would caution you on if you're new to the hobby, is buying the right cards of the right names is very important. You could go out and buy an Ellie De La Cruz Heritage right now, and that is not going to appreciate the way that a Bowman Chrome is going to. And so I have a friend he shows me all the time these autos he's buying and these cards he's buying, and they're parallels and stuff, but it's just like, they're not the right cards. And so he's putting money into things that it's just not going to appreciate the way that he's hoping they will. And it's not necessarily always about the name on the card. It's a lot of times the brand of the card as well with it. So with baseball, only really buy Bowman Chrome bursts of players or autos themselves. Autos in general, sometimes, you know, second, third year auto or rookie autos can still do really well with Bowman. In soccer, I think it is Topps Chrome or Obsidian that you really want to buy into. Their on-card autos are really important in soccer because there's not a whole lot of them. But in football, rookie tickets. In basketball, rookie tickets. Obsidian in both of those is a good one as well. But rated rookies on the bottom end for both of those are going to work as well. But don't just go out and buy, you know, Donruss stuff or, you know, or Chronicles parallels. A lot of times you're going to waste time just spinning your wheels in mud. And especially if you don't have a lot, make sure you're really calculated on what you are buying. I think that's really important. Another thing is, like, it's probably not going to be obvious when to sell. So, like, I wouldn't buy 100 cards and just be like, okay, cool, it's going to be really obvious when one of these pops off. I would buy like 5 or 10 and just be meticulous. Watch their markets. Like, just watch those 5 players and be like, okay, when are you thinking now? You know, like, for instance, Sanders, I bought it and forgot about it. But like with the market, you know, the transfer market and everything, I didn't even look to see that this card is up like 3x right now. But, you know, he's not a guy I'm really, that was kind of a Hail Mary shot for me, you know, and like, and I was just willing to be like, yep, I'm going to make money on that at some point because it's $12.50, you know? And so if you're going to spend 100 or 150 bucks on something, dive in and watch his market really closely. Don't panic sell either, because panic selling is, and if it's down really far, I would say don't watch it. Just be like, well, okay. And I don't panic sell. Just go set it in your office and look at it and be really proud of it, because there's going to be times where you're going to be able to recover 80% of that at least in the future. So unless there's a bad injury or something like that, or, you know, like a Trevor Bauer situation or something like that. But that's what I would recommend, brother. We're here for you. There's a lot of good content on this channel. The sports card strategy profiles that Paul puts up on our website are really, really good buys to watch. If you just follow that, there's going to be a lot of good content there. And so that's what I would recommend, is also paying for good content to put into your brain, and you're not just listening to people on Facebook messaging boards or something like that, because God, it's awful out there. So,
yeah. So Justice and everybody else out there, email me at paul@nooffseason.com. I'll get you a free year of premium content at nooffseason.com, where you can read all of the plays to make that Kendall's talking about. And yeah, I just want to reiterate what he just said, because when I first started buying sports cards, after my 30-year hiatus in the hobby, which was a few years ago now, I bought a ton of stuff that was just the wrong stuff. So like baseball, I bought a bunch of Topps cards when I should have been buying Bowman. Basketball, here I'm looking at one right now at Market Movers. So don't buy Anthony Edwards Prism Emergent Silver card. It's a pop 68 in PSA 10. You might be like, oh, I heard about low pop counts, like PSA 10. I heard about the brand Prism. Oh, this card's only $31. That's an amazing deal in PSA 10. That will go up. Well, the emergent insert of the Prism card is not really the card that people want. They want a variation of the actual base Prism, or they want a Prism Silver, or even just a base Prism PSA 10, even though that's like, people will roll their eyes at the base Prism card. The reality is, like, the base Prism PSA 10 of a top athlete is going to be always their most liquid card, meaning you will not have to convince anyone what that card is and why they should buy that card. That card should be easy to sell. So as long as you buy it at the right time, you are buying the right card. So the more variables you can take out, the better. And the biggest variable, I think, is buying the wrong card. So Kendall made a great point with that. Don't get distracted by a lot of these releases. Stick to Prism, stick to Optic for basketball and football. Contenders, Kendall mentioned, stick to Bowman Chrome or just Bowman for baseball. And then Upper Deck, Young Guns.
I would point out that definitely stick to Bowman Chrome. There are Bowman papers as well. Definitely don't hold the same value. Bowman Chrome. So I would just a little caveat to what you said. You're like Bowman in general. Yes. But also like Bowman Chrome is where the Bowman and baseball product is a lot of paper. Bowman Chrome specifically is what you want.
Yes. Bowman Chrome firsts, right? Because yeah, I need to revise what I said because Bowman Chrome first is what you want. Because if it doesn't say first on it, it could be that same prospect in that same set or release, but it's not their first and people will not care about that card. So Bowman Chrome first, definitely what you want. Thanks for checking us out on December 26th and glad to see you'll be back. Joshua Kaplow says, hey, Paul and Kendall, normally catch your YouTube videos on replay due to my work schedule and want to let you know you do a terrific job. Thanks for the great content. Love you too, Joshua. Keep participating, man. We'll hear for you. So even if you're on a replay, drop us a comment on the YouTube video and we will reply. So don't feel bad if you can't catch us live. We're definitely participating in everything. So Kendall, I want to take one more question here and then just quickly talk about the release calendar. So every month for sportscardinvestor.com, I'm going to now be writing a look at the upcoming release calendar, which I'm really excited about because I've never actually done this. Like I've looked at, of course, like as a sports card investor and flipper, like I've looked at releases that are coming up, but I've never really spent the time that I should spend looking at the release calendar and understand and like actually planning a strategy around what releases are coming up. Now, sometimes that strategy means a release is coming up. I don't want to buy that release. I actually want to go back to a previous version of that release because now I know that the prices will dip on a previous version of the release or a previous release from the same sport kind of thing. So I'm excited to kind of take a look more at that strategy. But before we get into that real quick, Mark from Toronto says, I absolutely love your show, guys. With any show that talks about baseball cards. So we do the baseball card strategy show, but then we also talk about baseball cards a lot on the sports card strategy show. He says, I've got a question for you. Even though SGC charges more for based on the value of a card, he says $100,000 card can cost $3,875 to grade if you get a 10, and they will come after you for some additional money because they increased the value of your card. The grade increased the value of your card, right? We're familiar with this concept. PSA does this too. He says, I told my buddy this and he strongly disagreed. So he called PSA in California and they claim not to do any of this. They only charge one flat fee, however valuable your card. There's no concern to them. My question is, why would anybody grade with SGC if they have to pay an absolute fortune to get the card graded? Mark from Toronto, thanks guys, and keep up the good work. So this has been a point of confusion consistently in the hobby since I have re-entered back in late 2020. What is going on with this, Kendall? Give me your take on the answer to this question.
I think I don't, without reading it, like without just hearing it in my earbuds, I'm trying to kind of put together what he's saying. But from what I think I understand that he's saying is like after a certain threshold, it's costing them to grade it. So they're going to charge you more. Is that what he's basically saying?
Yeah, exactly. He's basically saying like, that's exactly what he's saying. And to me,
what is the difference he's making between the way that SGC does it and the way that PSA does it?
He's basically saying that Mark from Toronto is basically saying that his understanding is that both PSA and SGC do this. And that his friend, he's having a debate with his friend. His friend is saying PSA doesn't do this and that he called PSA and that PSA claims that they don't do that. Whoever he talked to at PSA. Yeah, my understanding is that they both do this, but that it's related to the insuring the shipping of the card, correct?
Yep. So this happened to me earlier this year. I sent my Indy Rodriguez out of five to PSA. I paid for like the $70 level, which was like the value of the card was like between, I think, $500 and $1,000 or something like that. Well, raw, by the way. And I was like, okay, that's where I think, you know, there's not a whole lot of comps on this card. So like, that's what I think, that it would go around $800, $900. Well, then I got the awesome email. I never see these as a bad thing, by the way, which I got the awesome email from ESPN Sports Center Top 10 email.
ESPN PSA. ESA? Breaking news? What?
My PSA email back saying, hey, this card is worth more than you said it was, so the grading cost is going to be potentially higher, or actually it is going to be higher. You're going to have to pay $60 extra to get it back from us. I see that as an awesome thing because that means my card value is way higher than I thought it was. And so they need more money to ensure the fact that PSA is doing the right thing. And there are levels to this, man. Like, I would say that they probably pay way more attention to the higher value cards in terms of time. Now, that is never what they're going to tell you. They are always going to say, yeah, we spend the exact same time on a paper first, you know, blah, blah, blah card rather than the one of one Joe Burrow card. You know, that is so false. They're going to grade it way more meticulously. I think, you know, that's my opinion. And so, yes, PSA definitely does this. I would never grade with SGC unless you're getting Tuxedo of soccer cards specifically. There's a really unique SGC soccer community. But I also would do not high-end cards from SGC. I would do like base chrome autos or like and it's just unique. I just wouldn't do that. If you're going to grade, just grade through PSA, bite the bullet, take the long time. It's worth it in the end. It's way more liquid. We always like to say on this show, you don't want to have more reasons to convince somebody to want to buy your card. You know, like if you have to explain or give excuses or be like, yeah, I'm wanting $1,000. And the guy's like, but it's an SGC. You don't want that. You want it. You want a guy to be like, crap, this is $1,000 for a PSA 10. Hell yeah. You know, like smash that buy button. You don't want to have obstacles in your way. And the more obstacles you put in, the cheaper your prices are going to be.
Yeah.
And honestly, the pricing for the grading these two, the pricing right now is not different really. So
yeah, because,
just go with PSA.
Exactly. And so a couple points I'll reiterate there. Number one, grade with PSA because $15 a card, it's going to resell for more money than SGC. I had a great experience with SGC a couple summers ago when PSA was shut down, but I have not gone back to SGC just because resale value, PSA all the way. And PSA has been open at $30 a card or less. They've had promotions this December. I've sent in two different submissions at $15 a card, but this plays into answering Mark's question as well. The reason why they're going to potentially upcharge you is because if you get in at, say, a $15 a card grading level, they have stipulations. First of all, you have to submit more than 10 cards. Secondly, those cards have to be at a certain value level or less. And so that doesn't mean that you can't submit a card that's going to be of greater value, because the reality is you don't know. That card can increase in value for any number of reasons while PSA is holding your card. But if it does, then they're going to increase that fee because you submitted it at a lower level. If you submit a card at the highest possible level for PSA, it's going to insure your card at the highest possible level, and you probably won't get an upcharge. So there's a couple different reasons for that. That may have just flown over everyone's head, and that's totally fine. The point is, like Southern Soccer Idiot comes in and reiterates what Kendall's saying, PSA will definitely upcharge you if they determine your card to be of a certain value. And so it is for insurance purposes. That's what they say, and that's it makes sense. So Mark, hopefully that helps. Great question. It's always something that's going to come up. And I think it makes sense to continue to ask just to clarify so that you can get your cards graded at the company and at the price that you all want, because the reality is everything's open now. You have a lot of different choices to grade your cards. I think like Kendall does, PSA all the way. So real quick, release calendar. I know Kendall has Bowman draft 2022 that he wants to talk about. I'm interested to his strategy there. The sports card calendar release for January 2023. I wrote an article for Sports Card Investor. It'll probably be published by the time you hear this episode, if you're not listening live. But there's a lot going on every month. And so I'm just going to kind of call to the table the highlights and the lowlights of what I see in January 2023. So some lowlights that I would avoid would be Panini baseball releases. There's three or four Panini baseball releases. I would always avoid a Panini baseball release. You're even going to see Panini NT baseball in January. And so Panini National Treasures baseball is going to be a release that is going to be, you know, very tempting because it's actually at an affordable price. But the non-licensed stuff that comes with Panini baseball, it just does not resell. So if you're a collector and you like that stuff, great. For example, Panini National Treasures baseball comes out at $600. So $600 pre-sale right now. It's scheduled to release on January 11th. You would get that through PaniniAmerica.net as well, or you know, at a bunch of different hobby shops across the country. But great like memorabilia in those cards, great autos on the checklist, but it's $600 for a reason. So unless you actually want to hold those cards, I would avoid it. Although I would say that I would look out for a couple different things in January that I'm interested in. One, believe it or not, Skybox Metal Universe Hockey. Reason being, the price is actually pretty affordable, $175 for a hobby box pre-selling. The rookie checklist is pretty solid. Quentin Byfield, Cole Caulfield's Trevor Zegras, Mason McTavish, and Vasily Podkolzin are the top, you know, some coveted rookies in that set. But if you've been around the hobby the last few years, you've probably heard the acronym PMG. PMG stands for Precious Metal Gem. They're out of 100, but the first 10 are green. Is that right? I believe the first 10 are green and the next 90 are red. I might have that reversed. But anyway, there's the and then there's the one of one gold PMG. So the Precious Metal Gem and obviously gold, green, or red are highly coveted depending on the color, but they're all highly coveted by collectors. So they will go for a premium. So if you are able to get a top player precious metal gem in a $175 hobby box, which it looks like you will get either an autograph, a PMG, or a jambalaya, which is another type of insert that is pretty popular. These are throwbacks from back in like late 90s, early 2000s, Fleer, Skybox, Upper Deck. Kind of the license for the PMG kind of changed hands, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, anyone in the comments or Kendall. So that's intriguing. Panini NBA Hoops basketball is intriguing to me because it's going to be the first release in pro uniforms for rookies like my guy Jaden Ivey, Paolo Banchero, Benedict Mathurin of the Pacers that Kendall mentioned earlier on in the episode. Of course, Chet Holmgren, Jabari Smith Jr. as well, and other rookies. You've got Hoops Inc., Hot Signatures, Hot Signature Rookies, and Rookie Inc. autos in those releases. $120 price point is intriguing. What I will say about Hoops is that they will immediately lose value, tank in value, as soon as Donruss and Prism come out, which will be, you know, shortly thereafter. So I would say, like, guys like Justice earlier on who asked the question, if you're going to buy Hoops, you're going to flip it right away. You're going to rip and flip it right away, get it listed. I would not hold Hoops or anything like that. So Topps Dynasty F1 Racing is a crazy release every year that's scheduled to come out in January. Yeah. Kendall, there's one more, and then I'll shut up and let you comment on all of this that I'm interested in. And I would, if I wasn't writing this article, I honestly would not, I would have learned about this release through eBay searches. I would have stumbled upon singles and been like, oh, what is this? This is weird. But 2022-23 Donruss Soccer, I'm intrigued for a few reasons, because Panini mixes up licenses in this one to where you'll see some FIFA World Cup kit cards of the top people, and you will see some club kits for La Liga and Premier League, because Panini has licenses for La Liga and the Premier League. So you might see a Vinicius Jr. in a Real Madrid kit and a Christian Pulisic in a U.S. men's national team kit, for example. Or you could get Pulisic in his Chelsea kit, because there's the Premier. So these will be mixed into 2022-23 Donruss Soccer. What's really intriguing, though, is there's not really a full checklist available at cardboardconnection.com yet, but the photos that Cardboard Connection has, which I assume are informed from Panini, have a Alex Morgan Kaboom in the U.S. women's
national. Wow, okay. I'm interested in that.
And an Erling Haaland on-card auto in his Norway kit. So, and it's $200 pre-sell. So there's some chases here that are interesting to me at a $200 hobby box level. You're supposed to get one auto and one memorabilia card. But what if you pull like an Alex Morgan Kaboom out of a Donruss Soccer? So, you know, I'm interested.
Yeah, I think that's probably a product that I would be buying singles from. Rather than, because similar to NBA Hoops, Donruss is just not going to have that long-term value, and you're just going to have a bunch of bulk that you have no idea what to do with. But in terms of Hoop Slam cards, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I love the release calendar edition. Every year, I always am like, you know, there's like three or four releases that I'm very tuned in on, and there's some releases that just escape me. I love Stadium Club for baseball. I'm an investor primarily in sports cards, but as a collector, I love looking at Stadium Club. But I never like really think about, oh man, when is Stadium Club coming out? You know, so it's like this is going to be an extremely valuable resource, not only for us, but for me specifically, because I will forget about Topps Chrome Bundesliga, or, you know, like I'll forget about releases like Bowman X, which is a really unique set. You get one card, but it is autographed and it is paralleled, you know, so it's just like, okay, you know, so there's going to be releases that are going to catch us by surprise. And then there are going to be releases that we are going to say, don't go there. For instance, if you're chasing Bowman Draft 22, it just came out. If you're chasing that, awesome. I'm excited. I like it. Yes, I'm looking for Kumar Rocker Autos out there. If anybody has a base chrome Kumar Rocker Auto that they want to sell me for like 70% comps, I'll buy it from you. I know that's probably not a lot of people, but I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to pay full price for it, but I will pay 70% comps if you want to reach out to me. But what I'm saying is, if for that specific release, people are excited about it, if they're into prospecting. If you're not into prospecting and you just want to invest in certain cards, that's an opportunity for you to go 1 or 2 years back in that draft product and go make a significant buys there. 2020 draft was loaded. 2021 draft, pretty good product as well. 2021 draft was loaded. 2020 draft is a great product as well. There's some really good rookies in that product. Well, actually, they're not even rookies yet. That's a unique thing about baseball. They're pre-prospect cards. But definitely going back and looking at the further releases in baseball specifically is what I'm doing this year. So I'm going to try to buy an Ellie De La Cruz for right, like in this season. I'm not trying to buy holiday cards, like specifically holiday the player in the holiday season. I'm not trying to buy
Jackson Holiday, the number one overall pick.
Yes. So I'm not trying to buy his autos, even though they look lovely. They're a great signature. I'm just not going there right now. I'm going to go buy a Jordan Lawler card. I'm going to go buy an Ellie De La Cruz card. I'm going to go buy a Tristan Casas card. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I was thinking you were going to say. And I love that strategy. So just to reiterate, like, you know, 2022 Bowman draft comes out. Basically what happens is there's so much hype around that release. Hobby boxes are super expensive. So people buy into breaks to try to get like your Jackson Holidays, maybe your Drew Joneses, like those top names. I don't even know if Drew Jones is in the release. I don't mean to take us off in the wrong direction there. He's not. Okay. That's another Bowman thing. That's weird. But anyway, there's a ton that the draft class looks loaded, right? There's a lot of great middle infielder prospects, outfielder prospects. You've got sons of former major leaguers loaded in the draft. From 2022. So guys that were drafted in July 2022, literally that product is coming out right now. Their first prospect auto cards are coming out. Those are going to be their most valuable cards. Rather than buy them on the secondary market at the highest possible price point or buy into breaks that are extremely expensive to get into, which are a gamble, to try to get those cards, what Kendall and I are talking about is an alternative strategy to actually make a lot of money is to go back to the previous year's draft product. In this case, it would be 2021 draft where you had Jordan Lawler, or 2022 Bowman where you had Ellie De La Cruz, and buy the singles of their first Bowman Chrome cards or autos or serial numbered parallels. Greeny Green brought up another thing that we sort of forgot to hit on when we were answering Justice's question about color matches. That's a great call as well. Color matches are always going to be short print, sometimes serial numbered cards. So that's the strategy. I'm excited about this. So there's going to be at least one episode every month that I talk about more at length about the release calendar, and Kendall and I can, you know, maybe spend, you know, a good amount of time on one episode every month, probably the last episode of every month, previewing the next month's release calendar. I think that'll really help the audience. It'll help us, because there's just a lot of stuff that's going to be floating around. There's one that I'm trying to find right now so that I can bring it up to Kendall, the name of the release. There's a Panini baseball release that's low end. No, it's not Panini, it's Leaf. Okay, so there's a lot of Leaf releases in January as well. And there's a Leaf release that has baseball prospects in it. Guys from this year's draft. Which is super weird. Leaf Metal Baseball?
Yeah, I'm familiar.
I'm butchering this. I just think it's interesting that you're going to see some first prospect autos technically that are that may not be Bowman Chrome autos, and you're going to see them floated out there without licenses on them. And to me, that's always a pass, but I think people are going to be, you know, I think that they're going to be bought and sold, but they're never going to have the upside or anything like that. So ultimately they're going to be a pass from us. But anyway, Kendall, do you have anything else to add before we wrap up today's show? I think this has been an amazing, amazing last show of 2022. We'll see you guys next week for the kickoff of season two of the Sports Card Strategy Show.
Yeah, last thing I would say is don't fall for that marketing ploy. Don't, as an investor, don't do that. Just invest in the primary releases in specific, like, because the liquidity, guys, like, of course you might be able to pull the top end of those products, might be worth a lot of money, but guys, the odds of that happening are really low. So just play your strengths, play your percentages. It's just like any other investing material. You're going to risk where it's calculated. Don't just throw money around. And so I'm really looking forward to 23. I think it's going to be a really good year for us, specifically on this Sports Card Strategy Show. We're going to be in our full-on rhythm with each other. We're not learning each other. We're not learning what we're doing here. We're not, like, you know, figuring out products. We're not, you know, figuring out eBay sales or vaults and stuff. This is stuff that we know. We're vetted. And so we've made really good calls this year, and we're going to make better calls next year. So hold on. We're going to be really excited to run with you guys. And yeah, that's a sales pitch. You're going to make money if you follow what we're doing. And we are making money, and we want you guys to make money as well. And what better way than to have like a fun hobby that you really enjoy that's going to be growing your family's net worth as well. So
I couldn't have said it any better myself. It's time to cue the rock music, everybody.
Cue the rock music.
We will see you again next week. Definitely drop us a comment, and we will see you guys soon. This has been episode 62 of the Sports Card Strategy Show. I'm Paul Hickey with NoOffSeason.com. He's Kendall McKee. NoOffSeason.com, JustBaseball.com, Wild Cards, Box Breaks. Have a great day.